we are going to call an audible and not be in the Psalms tonight. We're going to be in Proverbs 31. And that is because it is Mother's Day. And as you turn in there, let me say just a couple of things about this passage as the kids make it their way out. If you know anything about it, there's a little bit of interpretive difference throughout church history on how to handle this. I'll tell you where I come out with it up front. I believe this is a wonderful passage for women, but not just women. I also think that what you have here in Proverbs 31, based on some language, actually, and I'll talk about this in just a moment, is somewhat of a synthesis of all the wisdom that you see throughout the book, and it is held up for women as an ideal. This is what Christian women should be about. And also, as Christian men, this is what we should support. This is what we should encourage. This is what we should seek to have happen in our wife's life, in our home, so on and so forth. You might say, okay, that's great, but I'm here and I'm single. So is this for me? You better believe it. Because if you are a single lady, this is a great bullseye for you to shoot toward. If you are a single man, this is the type of lady that you need to look for someday. So it is a composite picture of wisdom manifested in the life of a gospel woman, and it is an ideal for which to aspire. Now, let me also say this, because sometimes this passage can get communicated in such a way that it has the opposite effect that the writer would intend. Some women could hear this and go, oh my gosh, I'm falling down on every single one of these principles. I am not doing any of this well. Goodness. And there's just discouragement and despair, and that is the opposite effect that God would have for us here. So as we hear this passage, we need to hear it through the lens of grace. We need to hear it through the lens of the Holy Spirit will help you do this. And I think it would be good and wise and helpful to just pray, ladies, as you hear this, that the Lord would guard you from that improper interpretation of the text, lead you toward the right one, and then help build this into you even as you listen. Now, because there's so much here, I want to say two things about our organization. I'll have four principles that will draw our material together. And also, for those who are very linear thinkers, I'll let you know up front that we will work basically through the passage, but because of some of the themes I'm going to pull out, we're going to have to jump around just a little bit. So if I go from example of verse 12 to a verse 26, I'm not having a senior moment. That is on purpose. So that being said, let me go ahead and give you the first principle, and we'll get after it. The Proverbs 31 woman is immensely precious and a blessing to her entire family. The Proverbs 31 woman is immensely precious and a blessing to her entire family. Let's take a look in verse 10. An excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. And what he's saying here is basically these women are out there, but they're not everywhere out there. You don't come across them every day. So when you find someone of great virtue and great value, you hang on to that woman. That's what he's communicating there. And then he does that time after time after time throughout this passage. Verse 11. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. And quite literally, what I think he's saying there is when he leaves the house, he doesn't lock up all the stuff because he's not afraid that she will steal it, okay? That's actually what he's saying there. And that would have been important in this day because in the ancient world, as you might have heard, many, many marriages were not great, and the way women outside of the community of faith were treated was very poor, and there was a great distrust. And he is painting a different picture. He's saying in a family that honors and fears God, in a woman that honors and fears God, there is a trust between a husband and wife, and he trusts her with his items, and she helps him get more. That's essentially what he's saying. Verse 12, she does him good and not harm all the days of her life. The way to think about this, she's a blessing, not a curse. She's a helpmate, not a harm doer. And it's throughout the scope of her life. You see the same tune sung down in verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. And her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Now, the way these ancient cities were built was there were gates where the men, the ruling class, so to speak, the guys that were in charge of making things happen within their little city or large city, that business would be transacted at the gates. And he's saying that this man has a good reputation in that area with that group of people, in part because of the contribution that this woman makes to him. Again, she's a helpmate, not a harm doer. And this notion here of children rising up and calling her blessed, I think every mom in this room, that's what you would hope for your children to say, right? That when they grow up, they're not going to look at you and think that you're perfect, but you do hope that they look at you and go, goodness, that woman, and then by extension, that man, they pointed us to Jesus, they pointed us in the right direction. They taught us how life works. She's really great. That's what we want our families to say about us, particularly when the kids leave the home. And here's part of the challenge with a passage like this. I referred to this at the beginning of the service. Some of us, I, for example, had a mom like this. I have a mom like this, and am exceedingly thankful to be able to say that. I have a wife like this, and I'm exceedingly thankful to say that. But not everybody's in that place. And so as we hear this, hear the appropriate comfort that is implicit in the gospel alongside it. That even if your family of origin was a complete disaster, and you didn't have a mom even in the home because of some tragedy or that struggled with addiction or is something else, that the Lord knows of that. He's compassionate toward that. He wants to help bring healing in the midst of that. And he wants you to become the kind of family that perhaps you didn't have. And so the good news of the gospel, even in a passage like this, is no matter how you interact with this passage, there's hope and redemption and help available through Christ. So let's lean into this. Let's lean on Jesus because of this. And let's see what only God can do to create among refuge and beyond refuge this type of woman who is immensely precious and a blessing to her entire family. Now, second principle. The Proverbs 31 woman works diligently and helps provide for her home. The Proverbs 31 woman works diligently and helps provide for her home. Verse 13, it says this, she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. And what he's talking about here is that she is skilled in working with textiles to provide for the clothing that her household needs. Now, you hear this as a modern listener, and you're like, well, I don't know anything about textiles. I cannot make my own clothes. I guess I better just call it a day and go to bed. That is not the application from this section of the passage. What he's talking about here is that she is committed to providing for her home in whatever way that appears. And she worked hard. That's the thing that's going to come up throughout this passage. In fact, it comes up in a different way in the next couple of verses. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it, and with the fruit of her hands she plants a vineyard. Now it's the same idea, this same theme here, that she's a hard worker. She's a diligent woman. She's not a, what you might call in the other places in Proverbs, she's not a lazy woman. She's not a sluggard. She's someone that does what God has called her to do, whatever that is. It's also important to point out there that some of this language is purposely figurative. Because if you look at verse 15 there, you would go, this woman never sleeps. And you might also say that as a young mom, that's exactly right. This woman never sleeps. But that's actually not exactly what he's saying. What he's saying is it speaks to this attitude, to this heart, that she's a provider in the ways that she provides. Also think it's important, if you look back in verse 16 there, he's talking about her sound judgment when it comes to money. This woman, clearly, if this is intended to be taken literally, which again, I think the tenor of this is absolutely literal, is this is a remarkable financial acuity at this time, particularly in the ancient world. So again, this whole business that we've all been sold, that the Bible is this misogynistic document and beats women with the club, it's just historically false. And this is yet another example of it. Verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. And then also, kind of the end of 18 and 19 and then 21, her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. And what he's talking about there, again, this is not something you're going to go find in the guest room of your home, but it does conjure up images of perhaps Sleeping Beauty. Some of you guys have seen that Disney movie somewhere along the way where, you know, there's the spindle and all of that. And these tools that they're talking about here is what would have been used to make the clothing, that she's turning wool into thread and makes clothes and so on. And then verse 21, she's not afraid of snow for her household, and all of her household are clothed in scarlet. And so the scarlet at that time would have been very nice clothing. And again, the application there is not saying, okay, all of your kids have to have name brand everything, and it has to come from whatever your favorite store is. But it's speaking to the level of quality that is available because of this woman's heart and hard work. It's the same thing that is said in 22 and 27. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. And this, I think, is kind of the verse that draws all of this theme together in verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household, for she does not eat the bread of idleness. Isn't that a great poetic image? That she's not slovenly. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness and do nothing. She's very involved. She's very with it. She's very on it, so to speak. And though she's not perfect, she is definitely driving the family in a certain good direction. So ladies, I think a good question that you could ask yourself here, and again, remember, this is aspirational, but it can be somewhat actual through the power of the Spirit, is would this type of ethic describe how you think about motherhood, how you think about work, how you think about your home? Does it look like initiative and going in the right direction, or is it the bread of idleness? Clearly, this direction is the direction that the passage is exhorting ladies toward, and also, I think by extension, husbands to support. Because here's one thing, and I'm not great at this, but this is something that the Lord has helped me with over the years. Sometimes a lady can't do what she needs to do because the husband is not supportive of it. And I remember in the early days we were trying to figure out our marriage, and that was one thing that the Lord really spoke to me through a particular number of guys. Listen, you need to encourage and help and create an environment where this kind of stuff can happen easily. That you're an encourager of it, not an impedance to it. And I think that is something that all of us as men need to drive in that direction for. Because, and I'm sure there's exceptions to this, But if you have a woman that wants to follow Jesus and wants to honor God and wants to help her family, and this is not happening, it's at least possible that part of the reason this kind of stuff is not happening is because there's a guy that is standing in the way of it. And there's a bunch of different ways that that can happen. He could be too overbearing. He can be too passive. He can just be completely out to lunch, either physically or mentally. And so, fellas, as we hear this passage that clearly speaks to women, let's be thinking and pondering. And then I would say part of our application after this message is to ask the wives in our lives, hey, how can I help you further live into what this passage was talking about? How can I further value you, like the first point says? How can I help you further be a blessing to the entire family? How can I also help you work diligently? What do you need? What can I do to support you in whatever it is that the Lord has called you to do? So, up to this point in the passage, there's two things that are pretty clear, okay? There is an emphasis on home, and there is an emphasis on hard work. And those two tracks run throughout this entire passage, okay? And they don't truncate only in the home, though. And that's where we get into the last two principles here. Look at verse 20, it says this. It says, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. And so the principle there, I think, is that the Proverbs 31 woman thinks beyond her home as well. The Proverbs 31 woman thinks beyond her home as well. The way I like to think about it is your home can either be a cul-de-sac or it can be a launch pad for ministry. It can be a endpoint termination or it can be a place with an open door where people get needs met. And when he's talking about the poor here, if you know anything about wisdom literature, and we've worked through a good chunk of Proverbs here before, this theme of caring for the poor is ubiquitous. It comes up in every type of wisdom literature. It is a thread that runs through all of the Bible, particularly Old Testament, but all of the Bible. And so what he's getting at there is, even though she's got all these things going on, she's also not just thinking about her own family, she's thinking about other families. She's not just looking out for their needs, she's looking out for the needs of others. And the poor are clearly folks that have needs. And I'm happy to say that historically, throughout Refuge's journey in the past, and also with where we sense God is taking us in the future, that has been something that we have tried to do as best we can. As we become aware of needs, we try to step in and meet them as best we can. That's not going to change. My encouragement would also be that your family thinks that way as well. We will always do things corporately as a church, but don't think that God in his providence would not put particular needs in your purview that maybe we never know about, that you can step in and help. And so it highlights this woman caring in that way, and I think by extension we need to think about that as a family and also as a church. Now also look at this, verse 26. It says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And I think what he's talking about there is that her speech is characterized by certain things. It's characterized by wisdom, and it's characterized by kindness. And isn't that a great bringing together of things that sometimes don't exist in the same hand? You know, that's part of what we've been talking about here as a church. Part of the reason that the mandate that we have from the Lord is this juxtaposition of gospel doctrine and gospel culture. It's not just one or the other. It's both. And that's part of what this Proverbs 31 woman has. When you go to her and you ask her, what do you think about this? Maybe you got really young kids and somebody has a little bit older kids. Maybe you got teenagers and you need to ask somebody that's already raised their kids and they're often married. The sincere hope is that that woman on the other end of that question would give you probably a pause and a thoughtful, helpful, wise, and kind response. And let me just honor the ladies in this church. My understanding is that's what happens. That there's not a culture here of like, well, you ought to be doing better. Or there's not a culture here of judgment. There's a culture of, hey, parenting is hard and complex, and how can I come alongside and help you with whatever it is you've got going? But in order for that to work, two things have to happen. Not only do the women of wisdom have to speak with wisdom and kindness, but the women who need wisdom have to ask for help. Because it's not very helpful if you have ladies that can help, but women who never ask. Or you have women who ask, but you have old, crusty people that don't know how to give counsel. We want both. And I think this is the kind of thing that the Lord has given us. But it's also something we need to continue in the same way we're going to double down on some of this other stuff. We need to double down on this. Because imagine the type of church experience that someone would have in 3 to 6 months. Someone that's not in this room right now. And they roll into our church on fumes. Their marriage is in worse shape than it looks. Their family's in worse shape than it looks. And they decide they want to give church one more try, and we get to be the people. You get to be the women that come alongside them and give them help and hope through speech that is seasoned with wisdom and kindness. Friends, that's the kind of church that we are, but that we want to be, and we want to always be. And someday, we want to plant other churches that are like that too. Because when you have something special, you got to guard it and keep it and help it, but you also got to share it. And that's part of what that's what this woman has. She has enough because she's worked hard and the family is provided for and so on. She shares with the needy, but then she also shares wisdom and kindness from the teaching that is on her tongue. So by God's grace, let's continue to be and live into that. All right, final thing, number four. The Proverbs 31 woman has impeccable character. The Proverbs 31 woman has impeccable character. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Now, I think in our day, based on what you see on Instagram, you would think that there's going to be some influencer that comes out with the Proverbs 31 woman workout, right? And it's going to be like certain ways that you lift your Stanley cup so that you can make your arms strong in your time of need. I mean, that's where we are in contemporary culture, right? So if somebody wants that idea, just give me some credit and send me some royalties. But that's not what it's talking about here. He is talking about physical strength. Make no mistake. And the picture that I have here as I work through this part of the passage is almost like it's this woman that has a baby on her hip and she's directing some other children, but she's also closing some kind of clothing deal, apparently, and she is physically strong. This is a woman that, if you did mess with her, she would probably at least get a few punches in, right? I mean, this is a strong woman that you don't want to mess with. And I think that's great. Because again, what have we been sold? That the Bible is for weak people with no ideas and they just get run over. And that's not the picture in this passage. It's of a strong lady. And to go further with it, I love the poetry in this, right? Look at verse 25. He says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She laughs at the time to come. Now, what he does not mean, he is not saying that she thinks the future is funny, right? Like, this is not some silly girl that, like, has nervous laughter about what could happen in the future. But he's talking about her strength in faith and her view of the character and competency of God to handle whatever comes is so strong that she is almost laughingly unconcerned about it. That's heavy. That this woman is so convinced that God is going to come through that instead of having anxiety, she has peace. That instead of freaking out, she's chuckling out. That's heavy. But here's the thing. That is the ideal. And so I think the question there becomes, okay, that's not the experience of most women. That's not the experience of most men, right? I think all of us are perhaps rightly concerned. But again, if we could get to the point where we said, you know what, God is so sovereign and so in control, yes, we're going to do what we can, but at the end of the day, we have to trust him. And our view of him was so robust and so unshakable that we could laugh at the future. Oh, friends, that's what we want. And so I think the question then becomes, okay, if that's what we want, how do we get that? And the good news is, we're doing it. It's all the things that you already know to do. It's read your Bible. It's pray. It's be a part of a faithful church. It's, don't forget, communion. It's walk in community with other Christians. I think it's also to continue to foster a moment-by-moment growth and dependence upon the Holy Spirit. It's all the ordinary means of grace. And God uses those to shape us and to change us and to help move us in a direction where, ladies, this is what you become. Men, this is what you become. Someone who grows and trusts and can laugh at the future because they know God has got it. God is in charge. And friends, I'm telling you again, who doesn't need a church like that? Who doesn't need a community like that? We don't know what's coming in the future. We don't know how crazy it's going to get. And Christians are the only ones that really, truly have lasting hope that can be offered. We are. And so by God's grace, oh, that he would make us into individuals and families and a church and people that become like this. And he will, by his grace. So let's lean into it and not work against it. Two more verses here. Verse 30 and 31. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. And so what he's talking about here, again, this almost flies in the face of all influencer culture. Because if you spend any time on Instagram, or dare I say it, TikTok, what you're going to find mostly is things that deal with the external. Here's how to get your eyeliner a little bit better. Is there anything wrong with that? No. I know. I'm not watching those videos. There'd be something wrong with that. But you get what I'm saying. But what the writer of Proverbs is saying here is that true beauty is beyond skin deep. It's about character. It's about what is within. He goes so far here as to say, this is strong. Charm is deceitful. It will trick you. You don't want to be about that. You want to be about true beauty. And what is true beauty? It's a woman who fears the Lord. That's who's to be praised. And so I think the question there is, okay, well, what does it mean to fear the Lord? We spend a lot of time talking about this when we work through Proverbs. And if we ever loop back around and get Proverbs again, we'll talk about it again. The fear of the Lord is this fascinating juxtaposition of reverential awe toward God that manifests itself in wise living. True fear of the Lord is awe and reverence and worship towards God, and then it works itself out in living wisely before Him and before others. And he's saying, in essence here, kind of to bring it all together, the woman who fears the Lord, she's going to have all these traits. She's going to work hard. She's going to be valuable. She's going to make a difference to her family. She's going to care about the poor. She's going to be diligent both inside and outside the home. She's going to have impeccable character, and it all comes from fearing the Lord. And that, I think, is some of the best gospel news in this passage. Because, again, I think we can hear this and go, oh, my gosh, I just wish I was that way. But since I'm not, I'm giving up. And that's exactly wrong. That we need to hear this and we need to go, this is the life that's possible. These are the character traits that are possible. This is the invitation from God. And my responsibility, if you're a lady, is to fear the Lord and watch Him work powerfully within me as this happens. Husbands, it's to come alongside our women and say, how can I create and cultivate an environment where that kind of flourishing takes place and our family is helped and the neighborhood is helped and the church is helped and the world is literally changed because people dared to fear the Lord and then see what happens. So that's how I want to encourage us today. Friends, let's fear the Lord. Let's have a reverential awe toward God that then works itself out in wise living. And you know the best person that can help us with that? It's the Lord Jesus. Because how did He live His life? In a perfect fear of the Lord. He never did a wrong thing. He never had a wrong thought. He always had the right answer because He was in touch and in tune with His Father. And all of His perfection qualified Him to die for our imperfection, for every one of the failures regarding this passage. Jesus has fully and finally paid for all those sins. And by the power of His Spirit, through the power of His Word, He is remaking ladies and families in this direction, if we'll let Him. So that's my encouragement. Let's fear the Lord and let's let the Lord work among us. Let's close our time by praying toward that end. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we are thankful for this word. We are thankful for You painting the target very clearly. And Lord, also offering unbelievable, unmatched grace for all the ways that we fall short, both as ladies and as men. And Lord, we thank You that You will not leave us where we are, that whether we feel it or not, even by hearing this tonight, You've helped us. But Lord, we do pray that You would cultivate within us a greater sense of awe and reverence for who You are, a greater sense of willingness to ask for help and also give help with gentleness and wisdom. A greater sense of, oh, that's what we want to be. And also, oh, Lord, thank You that You're not done with me and You're making me in that direction. Lord, this is always a complex type of thing to talk about. But we thank You that there's nothing complex for You. It's all easy for You. Because of who You are. So I pray for great courage within our women, great dependence within our men, and great help upon us as families and as a church. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name.